that's so cute. Good morning, everyone. If you can find your seats. You know, I'm standing up here and I'm just watching everybody walking around and hugging everybody and just smiles on their faces. And it makes me so happy because this is an extension of family. This is our family. You know, I mean, I know we're not blood family, but we're blood family, the blood of Jesus. And it just made me really happy to watch you guys. Ushers, will you come forward and pass out those flyers while I'm doing announcements? So these are, Pastor Evan did notes for the service today, and then there will be a quiz afterwards. Not really. So first of all, I don't see any first-time guests. I think we're all been here before, but welcome everybody. Welcome those who are watching online. Just a reminder, our Wednesday night Bible study has resumed. It is in the coffee room, and can't remember what we finished Revelations. What are we doing now? We're talking about the books of the Bible and how the Bible was put together. Okay, so that's going to be a really good study. I hope you can join us, 7 p.m. Wednesday. During that time, the youth will be meeting 6:45 in the youth room with Pastor Nate and Liz. Next Sunday after church is the Lot Party Sunday. Lot Party Sunday is a big outreach that we do in the community at the end of August. So please join us for the meeting next week. And then I'm going to pass this over to Pastor Evan, because he has a few things to say.
All righty. So I don't know if you guys heard, there was actually a little bit of a disturbance in the force. I think it was last Sunday, there was a church in the area that they had an armed gunman that was, I guess, was trying to come into the church. The security guard, the security team took him down, praise the Lord. But we're talking about ramping up our security a little bit here at the church. And so actually Lisa and I are going to be connecting next week and be talking over some things. But if you are interested in being a part of the, I guess, security team, talk to Lisa or myself, and we would love to be able to get you connected. And so other than that, we're going to call the ushers forward. We're going to bless the Lord with our tithes and with our offerings. And so you can give here in person or you can give online too. But God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you that we have this opportunity to be here in your presence, Father. I just pray that you'll bless us. I pray that you'll be with us, God. I pray that you'll bless both the gift and the giver, and that it'll go to further your kingdom. In your holy name, amen. All right. So we're kind of mixing up the order of service a little bit today. If you guys have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me real quick to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And we're kind of teetering on this. We've had this whole theme this year on being one, making one. And we are also in this theme this month specifically of the family. So I don't know if you guys realize, but the first Sunday of the month, we had the kids come up and minister. Did you guys enjoy that? Was that cool? That was pretty sweet. They came up and they did the puppets and they did the singing and all that stuff. And so they ministered. And then the second Sunday of the month was Father's Day. And if you guys remember, we gave you guys root beer and beef jerky. Praise the Lord, which is awesome. And then last week, Brother Nate, can we give Brother Nate a hand, Pastor Nate a hand? He preached a lively and exciting message out of the NIV, I was surprised, you were in the chapter of Micah, correct? And he spoke about it was our Youth Focus Sunday. And so excited. So we've just been kind of focusing on family. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to preach a little bit shorter today, but I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to respond, okay? So I'm going to preach a little bit shorter, and I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to respond at the end of the message. And so the worship team is going to come up at the end, and they're going to play a couple more songs, and I'm going to just give you guys an opportunity to respond. Really, this message is kind of a message that requires a response, or it looks for a response. And So that's what we're going to do today. Are you guys cool with that? If you're with me, say amen. If you're not with me, say no. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. So here we go in Luke chapter 8. And maybe let me ask you a question first. Do you have someone in your life that needs Jesus? Do you have someone in your life that needs Jesus? Let's see, one more time. Hands, anyone? Everyone? Wow, okay. Maybe it's a coworker that's been down a dark path. Maybe it's a spouse whose heart has been hardened. Maybe it's a neighbor that keeps you up late at night arguing with their partner. Maybe it's your kids. Your kids have strayed from the Lord. Or maybe it's your own parents. Or maybe it's your brother or your sister. Or maybe it's your in-laws. I don't know. I feel like in my life, it seems like, man, everywhere I go, I come across people that, man, there's just a need, you know? There's been times in my life where people in my family have been far from the Lord. In fact, even now, there's people in my family that have left the faith and are far from the Lord. And the type of work that I'm in over at the bank, man, I come across people every day who are hurting and struggling, and oh man, I just see the need, and sometimes it can be overwhelming to see all the things and all the people that need the Lord. But man, many years ago there was a man, a father, who had a very sick daughter, and she was so sick that she was on the brink of death. And he heard about this guy named Jesus who had been doing some miraculous things. If you look earlier in the text, you can see that there was a centurion that came to Jesus and had a servant and said, just say the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus healed his servant. If you look earlier in the text, you can see that Jesus raised a widow's son from death. If you look earlier in the text, you can see that Jesus had calmed the storm and Jesus had restored a man who was completely possessed by demons. And I guess I kind of wanted to encourage you this morning that no matter what your situation is, no matter where you're coming from or where you're going or the people around you that are struggling, I want to remind you of the power of Jesus this morning. Amen? The power of Jesus. You know, if you read the book of Colossians, it's Colossians chapter 1, it talks about Jesus and it says that in him all things were created, visible and invisible, thrones and powers and authorities. It says he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And so there was this father who had a daughter who was sick and dying, and he heard of the miraculous work of Jesus, and so he decides to bring his, he decides to go and see Jesus. We read about the story in Luke chapter 8. It says this in verse 40. Now when Jesus had returned, and Jesus had just returned from casting the demons out of the man, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. So there was this expectation because he'd been doing all these miraculous things. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. And as Jesus was on his way, the crowd almost crushed him. So there's this man, he's a respected synagogue leader. He comes to Jesus. He goes to Jesus. Can you guys say, goes to Jesus? He goes to Jesus. And he goes to Jesus, and he doesn't go to Jesus for himself, but he goes to Jesus for somebody else. He's a respected synagogue leader. Again, he's not going for himself, but he's going to Jesus for someone else. He's going to Jesus for his daughter, a girl who's only 12 years old, who's dying. I want to just kind of take a moment, and when I'm looking at this text, This is the very definition of, we're going to talk about intercession this morning. Can you guys say intercession? Intercession. Coming to Jesus on someone else's behalf, praying on behalf of others, inviting Jesus into the situation. So Jairus comes to Jesus on behalf of his daughter who is sick and dying. This is the first note that we can write down there. Intercession is coming to God on behalf of someone else. Intercession is coming to God on behalf of someone else. So you guys with me? Say amen. Perfect. It's coming to God on behalf of someone else. So again, is there someone in your life this morning, maybe a question to ask yourself, is there someone in your life this morning that needs Jesus? Is there someone in your life this morning that's sick, right? I know we've been praying for Vernon with his back. We've been praying for Dean with his feet. We've been praying for other people as well. But what we're doing is when we're praying for these people, we're interceding for them. We're coming to Jesus for these other people. We're like, Jesus, we want you to touch this person. We want you to touch this. Is there someone in your life that is far from God that needs an encounter with Jesus, right? Like, I don't know, a couple months ago, I met a guy. I went on the porch of the church who was smoking a cigarette, and I'm talking with him, and he had a bunch of pool sticks in his hand, and I gave him some donuts, and he was talking to him, and he told me he sold his soul to the devil, right? Is there someone in your life that needs Jesus? Do you know someone that's far from him? You guys with me? Is there someone that's sick? Is there someone that's far from the Lord? Is there someone in your life that's maybe struggling with addiction? You know, we support Life Challenge, and they come and they minister every year, and it's a ministry that reaches out to people that struggle with addiction and substance abuse, and these men come in, and they share their story, and they sing a song, and one of the things that Jeff always asks when they come and visit is, will you guys pray for Brian? Will you guys pray for Steve, or whoever? And what Jeff is doing is he's asking the church to intercede for these brothers who have been struggling. You know what I'm talking about? So is there someone in your life who's sick? Is there someone in your life that's far from God that needs an encounter with Jesus? Is there someone in your life that's struggling with addiction? Is there someone in your life that needs a breakthrough? And I was thinking about intercession, and really intercession is I feel like it's really a mature spiritual discipline, because I don't know about you, but I feel like when we're maybe younger in our faith and we are just coming to know the Lord, I feel like a lot of times our prayers are very self-centered. Lord, if you would bless me, if you would enlarge my territory, if you would enlarge my bank account, if you would give me that Kia Carnival that seats 11, I would appreciate it. God, if you would have my wife be a little bit more understanding. God, if you would do this for me, if I, you know, I've been really hoping to get this raise, Father. God, if I could just, you know, I really want to win this trip to Punta Cana. You know, like I feel like when we're a little bit newer in our faith, our prayers are self-centered, but intercession requires some mature spiritual discipline. Intercession is coming to God on behalf of someone else. Is there someone that you know that's sick? Is there someone in your life that's far from God? Is there someone in your life that's maybe struggling with an addiction? Is there someone in your life that needs a breakthrough? Intercession is coming to God on behalf of someone else. And so this father, he comes to Jesus not for himself, but he comes to Jesus on behalf of his daughter. And intercession, the second note there, is rooted in compassion and urgency. You want to write that down? It's rooted in compassion and urgency. First of all, it's coming to God on behalf of someone else. But second of all, it's rooted in compassion and urgency. This man is compassionate. He has a 12-year-old daughter, his only daughter, who's sick and who's dying. He's coming to Jesus out of a special spot in his heart. How many of you guys are parents? Raise your hand. How many of you guys, your kids have a special spot in your heart? Raise your hand. How many of you guys, you want to trade your kids in for something else? Raise your hand. Just kidding. Sherry. But children have a special spot in our heart. It's one thing for us to suffer, but it's another thing to watch your child suffer. It's worse than you suffering. And intercession, man, it's rooted in compassion. It's rooted in compassion for others. If we have no compassion, we don't really care, right? But here he is. He comes to Jesus, and he falls at his feet, and he's pleading with him, compassion and urgency. There's a sense of urgency here. This daughter is dying. The time is short. Jesus, I need you to do this miracle. I need you to do this thing. I don't know if you've ever interceded for someone before where it's like, man, your whole heart is with them. They've been struggling, and you've been struggling right along with them. They've been going to the doctors, and you've been going to the doctors, maybe not physically, but emotionally, right along with them. They got a report from the doctor, and it's not looking good, and you're interceding on their behalf. You're coming to Jesus on their behalf. You're praying for them. You're asking God to do the miraculous. And so he comes to Jesus, and he's like, man, my daughter is dying. She's actively dying. The time is short. I need you to move right now, God. I need you to move quickly, and I need you to move efficiently. I need you to do the miraculous. I know the doctors have said that there's no hope, but I need you to do the miraculous. And to Jairus's delight, you can see in the text that Jesus agrees. He agrees to go with Jairus. But again, there's urgency, and the time is short. And so Jairus agrees, and I can imagine the crowd being thick with people. In fact, if you read a little bit later in the text, it said the crowd was crushing them. So here's Jairus trying to take Jesus to see his daughter. He's like, all right, come on, let's go. And they're trying to make their way through the crowd, and they're kind of stumbling around, and they're pushing through. But again, Jesus had been healing a lot of people, and a lot of people were there to see him, and the multitudes were pressing against him. And as they're going, Jairus is like, all right, come on, we need to go see my daughter. We need to go see her. The time is short. She's dying. She's actively dying. We need to move quickly. And he's taking Jesus, and Jesus is going, and Jesus is like, yeah, I'm going to follow you. And as they're going, so someone else reaches out and touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and this person is healed. So on the way to a miracle, on the way to going to get his miracle for his daughter, because he knows that Jesus has the power to heal his daughter, on the way to the miracle, someone else experiences a miracle on the way. And Jesus stops and says, who touched me? I can imagine Jairus being like, okay, that's cool that she was healed and stuff, but you agreed to heal my daughter first, and she's actively dying, and things aren't looking so well, and I that's great that you healed her, but if we could just keep on, like, Jesus, why are you stopping right here in the road? Like, my daughter's over there, she still hasn't received, I can understand, thank you, but there's some urgency here. I appreciate that you healed her, but my daughter needs some healing here. Why are you stopping? Again, I'm glad that you healed her, but why are you stopping? I can imagine him waiting painfully. Have you ever waited painfully in your life before? It's like, ah. You see other people getting a move from the Lord, or you see another child who got their healing, or someone, and you're just waiting painfully for God to move, or you're waiting painfully for God to reach your family, or you're waiting painfully for a breakthrough. And again, while you're waiting, other people are getting healed. And while you're waiting, other people are experiencing good things. And while you're waiting, God is doing the miraculous in other people's lives. You're waiting. And while they're waiting, it says in verse 49, while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." So as he's waiting painfully, he gets the news that it's too late. You know, I remember when one of my sisters strayed from the Lord for a season, and my mom and my dad were both interceding for her. She ran off and was gone in a bad situation, and my mom and my dad were interceding for her. They were talking to people, and they're like, well, you know, she's made her own choice, and she's done her own thing, and kids have their own will and their own free will, and, you know, I just don't know. I think it might be too late. And I don't know, when I read the text, I see that intercession is persistent. Can you write that down? Intercession is persistent. Our time and God's time are different. Jesus tells this parable in Luke chapter 18. And in the parable, it speaks of this judge who didn't fear or know God or care what people thought. Sounds like a pretty bad dude, probably the wrong profession to be a judge. And this widow kept on coming to him and asking him to grant justice against her adversary. It says in the text, for some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come back and attack me. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Interesting passage of scripture. Will he find faith on the earth? And intercession is persistent. If you keep on reading in verse 50, it says, hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone in with him except Peter and John and James and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were waiting and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She's not dead, but asleep. And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. And actually, if you just read a little bit further, but he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. And her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. And then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Final note. Intercession brings the presence of God into impossible places. Intercession brings the presence of God into impossible places. The crowd sees death. They were wailing. They were mourning. They see an impossible situation. She was dead. This was before modern science. It was before modern medicine. She was dead. But intercession invites divine intervention into the situation. It brings God's power and miraculous work into that area of your life. You got a little sticky note there this morning. And what I want you to do this morning is I want you to close your eyes and just ask the Lord if there's someone this morning whom God wants you to intercede for. Is there someone this morning whom maybe they're sick? Is there someone this morning whom you know their life is far from God and they need an encounter with Jesus? Is there someone you know this morning that's struggling with addiction? Is there someone this morning that you know that is, man, they really need a breakthrough? Is there someone this morning who you can intercede for? Is there someone this morning whom you can bring to Jesus, or you can bring Jesus to? Man, the world might say that the situation is gone. The world might say that the situation is dead. The world might say that the diagnosis is no good. But there's power in the name of Jesus. In him, all things were created, visible and invisible, thrones and powers and rulers and authorities. He's before all things, and in him, all things hold together. Scripture says, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. If you look at the original language, it's really talking about repetition. Keep on asking, and it'll be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. Maybe you've been praying for someone for a long time. Maybe you've been interceding for someone for a long time. Keep on being persistent. Who can we intercede for this morning? God, we come before you this morning. We know that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know that you hold the universe in your hands. Man, we know that there are people all around us who need Jesus in their life. And this morning today, God, we come before you and we wrote these names on this piece of paper. And God, I pray that that'll just jar our conscience and jar our heart. And God, today I just pray that we will intercede for them and that you'll move in our lives. Speak to us. God, I pray that maybe we haven't seen a breakthrough in their lives yet. God, we just pray for a breakthrough this morning. As the worship team keeps on playing, I want to invite you, if you wrote a name down, you can fold it. I have a cross up here. I want you to bring it to Jesus this morning. And if you want prayer once you're done, I'll pray with you. But the worship team is going to keep on going.